It's funny, too, because it was also a day when school districts used to give this day off for the kids. That's ended. But I know some people are still out of town today because either they decided we'll observe President's Day even if the schools don't or their offices don't. And nonetheless, we welcome you back to the show. Good to have you here on this Monday afternoon. This used to be my spring training trip. I would always go early and spend, let's say, Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Arizona, drive back Monday. But because there was school today, I decided, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and hold off this year. We didn't do it. But my brother, Matt, went, took his family and kids. He didn't care about missing a couple of days of school. I mean, no big deal. They went to spring training. And here's the funny thing, okay? They went to the Padres camp Saturday and Sunday. Saturday, they were there for like 4 hours, but they didn't want to wait. I guess they got tired because, you know, practice ends around 2 o'clock, so they didn't want to stick around and wait for it to end, so they just got out of there, went to have lunch, went to have some pizza, and they called it a day, right? No autographs other than Joe Musgrove. Yesterday was like an early day, so they were smart. They got there late, showed up, and all I know is that one of his two sons, Jackson, who's a huge, he plays baseball, loves getting autographs and meeting players and getting his baseball cards signed. He went to Padres camp, and he ended up getting Bogarts, Tatis, Machado, Kim, every big name that the Padres have. He was able to get yesterday. He had like this ridiculous run where every big name that was there, he got them to sign their cards. So I would say that's a major score for him. And now spring training trip turns out to be a success. You know, that's, man, if you like autographs and meeting players, don't go for games. You're never going to do that during games. Go in February, in the middle of February, when they're first reporting during President's Day weekend, and that's where you get all your autographs. It's just like he did today, yesterday.
You know, I know we had Benny Kaplowitz on the show before, but I think we might need to have Jackson in studio, Steve, to give our listeners like a 411 tutorial on how to get the biggest names in maybe all of baseball. Forget the Padres, maybe all of baseball, and like Tatis and Machado and Musgrove. I mean, that's incredible right there to get all those autographs and to do it with, you know, some such ease, like you just mentioned it casually, a Sunday afternoon, they're out there doing it. I mean, that's pretty special. We need to give our listeners some tips in case they want to go out there.
Here was the big, here's what he ended up getting. Darvish, Tatis, Bogarts, Machado, Kim, Campusano.
Nice. Like
he did really well. And apparently he had like a great position. Right, like in this, like he found a way to get to like this area in the fence where he kind of maximized it. And then when they all came over, autograph after autograph after autograph. And I'm happy they went because when we would go on this particular weekend, I would always be sending him back pictures of our son Joel with all these ball players. Like one year we went and we met Blake Snell, we met Chris Paddock, we met Yu Darvish, we met Campusano, we met everybody. Like they're all there. And we just met them all and took pictures and got autographs, right? And I told him, I said, you know, instead of going out and spending $250 or $500 for spring training tickets and coming up empty because they don't sign, do it this way. Get there early, go to camp, and you'll end up meeting everybody and you get all the autographs. And it's exactly what they did. And these kids are the exact opposite, by the way. Because think about this. So apparently, this is what I heard, okay? So when it comes to college basketball, he has twin boys and they're 12 years old. One twin is Benny. He's at all the UTEP games. All the UTEP games. Won't miss. In fact, he'll miss a Little League baseball game to go watch UTEP play. That's just
it. Respect.
That's it. He's at every game, knows everything about it. Jackson couldn't care less about basketball. So he doesn't go. He stays home. Benny goes to the games. Spring training, Jackson's out there getting autographs. What's Benny doing? He's on his iPhone watching Florida Atlantic play a college basketball game while all this stuff is going on out there in Arizona. They're the exact opposite. So one likes college basketball, loves UTEP. The other loves baseball and loves spring training. And they do the exact opposite things at these games, which is hilarious to me. I love that. It's like, hey, how's Benny doing? Oh, he's watching Florida Atlantic play. It's like, come on, man. It's Sunday. You got all these players there. You got Bogarts, Tatis, Kim, Machado, and you're watching Florida Atlantic on the phone? That's unbelievable.
You know who's benefiting off all this is Matt. I mean, their father, because he gets the best from both of them. Like, he'll get all the baseball knowledge from Jackson, and then he'll get all the basketball knowledge he needs from Benny. So this is excellent. I mean, to have these two opposite as far as their sports liking goes, I think it's pretty cool. And it's real interesting to me to hear that these two individuals, one is obsessed with baseball, the other one is obsessed with college basketball. It's not like that's turning on a ton of television sets all across the country. Here in America, if everybody, you know, you hear about sports fans, younger sports fans, they love the NFL. That's usually what they gravitate towards. So now hearing it from baseball and college basketball, it's refreshing.
And by the way, they listened to the entire minor talk show from Arizona on their phone, I guess into the car, or either that or just through their devices while minor talk was live after the game against Middle Tennessee. So not only were they out there in Arizona for spring training, but they were following everything along, watching the games, and then listening to the entire minor talk.
Man, poor guys. Double overtime loss. I mean, you know, I feel for the minor fans who suffered through, first off, long broadcast. That game felt like it would never end. Felt like the refs completely lost control of that game. And then they have to stick around to listen to minor talk of everybody complaining of how bad the team was. I mean, Saturday was not a good time to be a UTEP fan.
So today is my 18th anniversary. And
congratulations.
Thank you.
And
I just,
and Karen.
I just want to wish my wife, Karen, if she's listening, happy anniversary. I love you, and I'll be home in a couple hours. Meanwhile, decided instead of celebrating to go out to dinner tonight after the show, we went out to dinner Saturday. So I said to her, look, we'll go after the UTEP game is over. Figure 6 o'clock, we'll go to dinner. And then I'm watching the game. And 6 becomes 6:15, becomes 6:30, and then it becomes 7. And I was watching that game. I would not leave the living room because the game was on. She was in the other room, and she was fine, didn't care. But finally, with 30 seconds left to go in double overtime, when they were down 3 and just either turned the ball over or missed a shot, I forget what it was. That was when I finally had enough. Cursed the TV set, shut it off, and said, let's go. I'm ready. She said, was the game over? I go, nah, there's 30 seconds left in double overtime. She goes, what? No, you got to say, I go, no. I don't want to watch the end of this. I know how it's going to go. I've already invested 3 hours of my life in this basketball game. And quite frankly, I can't watch the last 30 seconds of double overtime. That was the end for me, Adrian. That's what I said. I want to go out to dinner. Let's celebrate our anniversary Saturday night, and I just got to put this game behind me because I just could not stomach the last 30 seconds knowing A, they were going to lose, and B, you know, the way that game had played out up until that point. That's when I finally checked out and had enough.
I thought you were going to say, well, I figured UTEP was going to win after Jonathan Dos Anjos hit the 3 to start off second overtime. And there's no possible way that Middle Tennessee could have come back after that one. I mean, there's so many points in that game the Miners should have won. And, you know, you talked to the team today, and one of the first questions I had, you know, Joe Golding was asking me, what do you want to ask about the road woes? And I get it. Like, this is one of those things that's happened 9 times. It continues to be a storyline, hangs over their head. But I just asked, it was such an emotional loss. Like, how do you rebound from that? And it's tough because you put so much emotion on trying to beat one of the worst teams in Conference USA in Middle Tennessee.
Yep.
And they're not able to do it in double overtime fashion where we could have pinpointed like 5 different scenarios where they should have just closed it out and won the game.
It's like Groundhog Day. It's what I feel like. When I watch this team on the road, you've seen the movie Groundhog Day, right, with Bill Murray?
Yes.
Okay. He repeats the same, like, here's what he tries to do, okay? Like, he tries to change things up in that whole movie, and he always wakes up having to repeat the same day, like, no matter what he does. Because remember, he becomes a better person, tries to win the girl, tries to do this and that, and he's always repeating the same day until the very end of the movie, okay? That's how I feel UTEP basketball is on the road. Like, I feel like I'm watching the same thing every single time, right? They come ready to play. They hang tough. In some of these games, they have a chance to win. In others, they're in there till the last 4 or 5 minutes, and then they die. But the end result is always the same. They always lose on the road, no matter what. But that's what I feel like. I mean, every game to me is Groundhog Day for UTEP basketball on the road, and it's depressing because we all know that, you know, this team should have a few more wins than they have right now, because when you're 0-9 on the road, that's a killer. And, you know, fans are frustrated. I don't blame them. Should they have lost that game on Saturday? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But we all, I mean, you kind of knew they would. They're winless. You figure that, you know, maybe eventually they'll figure out a way to break it. You even said on the show Friday, you said that if they don't win on Saturday, you don't see how they're ever going to win a road game this season.
I almost guaranteed a win.
You did almost guarantee a win. That's right.
I would have given you if I was giving you betting advice, I would have said bet the Miners in this game. They're going to win this one. I said it on this show, no matter, they're going to win this one on the road. They had multiple chances, and they still weren't able to do it. I'll just reel off some stats that are staggering real quick.
Please.
42 points in the paint. 39 bench points. When is the bench ever going to put up 39 points for this UTEP team? And then they also in this game, the one glaring weakness, or I guess glaring stat that I look at, forced 25 turnovers. So the previous time that Middle Tennessee came to town, that was their season high. They forced 27 turnovers. This time, just two under that, 25 turnovers UTEP's able to force, and they still don't close it out with a win.
When was the last time UTEP men's basketball led the nation in multiple categories and they were 13-13 after 26 games, which includes, by the way, games against Division III opponents? Think about that for a second, okay? They lead the country in, not in bad stats, good stats, forcing turnovers, steals, whatever. I forget what the numbers are. But they're like, 300-something teams. They're number one. And yet, they're a 500 basketball team right now, and they're under 500. What are they, 4-7 in Conference USA?
That's right, yeah.
Ugh. It's not to make a person vomit. It really is. Because they should be so much better. They should be so much better than they are. And we were talking about this. Is it a talent issue? Is it a coaching issue? Is it a mental issue? At this point, I don't even know. I mean, you tell me, when you're right there and you just can't finish, and it's not like they're not trying. It's not like they're trying to lose. They're trying to win. They just can't, for whatever reason. They can't win a road game. What is it?
No clue. They have no answers. They can't do it where they can't close these games out. They've had multiple opportunities against some of the best teams in conference play, like Sam Houston. They had them on the ropes. That game was over and couldn't close it out. And then this one against the worst teams in conference, USA, like Middle Tennessee, and couldn't do it as well. Even Florida International, you reflect back to that first road loss out of conference play, and that one was such an emotional game. They had that one in the bag, and then Florida International closes that game the way that they do on a big run and steals it from the Miners. So I don't know. I mean, this team just, I think they've shown us a lot as far as who they are. And I think that for some fans, they don't want to accept who this team is. And it's kind of an average or below average team right now.
Yeah, it is. I mean, listen, you can't call a 4-7 team in Conference USA above average. Absolutely not. In fact, they're below average. They are. They're three games below average in terms of Conference USA. They're 500 on the season, but that's counting games against teams that, are glorified exhibition games. It's shocking, to be honest with you. It really is. So I had this debate yesterday when I was talking to a good buddy of mine, Hunter Pennypacker, who loves to call Miner talk after games. We're talking about it, saying, is it a talent issue? Is it a coaching issue? What is it? And that was such a, it's like one of life's great mysteries. In fact, if you think you have the answer to the question, I'd love to hear about it today. Maybe John Teicher has the answer to the question when he joins us 90 minutes from now live at Hudson's, where he'll be standing by for UTEP basketball with Keith Adams and Joe Golding coming up here at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, I feel like for me, roster makeup and just kind of the philosophy of roster building maybe has been holding this team back a little bit from the growth it expects and it wants to see at this point. I mean, what they brought back was Tay Hardy. They brought back Calvin Solomon. Those are two guys who started off the season as CUSA preseason all-conference players.
Yep.
And they brought in Zid Powell to be the difference maker within those two, the bunch. So Zid Powell was supposed to be the impact difference maker. Tay Hardy is supposed to take a level up, which I truly believe he did. I think this season he has stepped up from where he was last year. And then Calvin Solomon, who has not lived up to that CUSA preseason all-conference player. It's just, you know what, the makeup of this roster maybe wasn't what it was intended to be.
Yeah, obviously not, because you're right. Proof's in the pudding. 4-7 in the league, 13-13 overall. All right, we'll take calls. We'll give you a Minor Talk mashup during the show today as well. We've got that for you. We'll give out awards from Saturday night's game. We'll replay those too. So a lot in store on our Monday edition of the program. With you till 6 as we send it over to Charlie 1. Let's get this traffic update. To pass the hour as we continue here on Sports Talk, 505-6009. That's 505-6009. Saw this a little while ago from Esteban talking about autographs at spring training or games in general. My wife, Elvia, Esteban says to us, managed to get Altuve to sign her jersey at a game we attended in Seattle in April of 2019. That's a good score. I'll tell you what.
In like the prime of his career.
Yeah, exactly right. And by the way, that it is not easy getting autographs before games. It is not easy. In fact, before or after. Very difficult. Spring training, it's, you know, they if you're lucky, you might get one or two players max. Nobody signs. And then regular games, it's tough. It is really tough. That's why I was always said, if you're an autograph fan, go this past weekend. That's the time to go. Before they play games and when they're just working out. That's always been for us the most successful time we could get it done. And they did it. So that's great. All right. Good job, Esteban. Appreciate that. Let's go to Cruz. He's going to be first up today. 505-6009, our telephone number. Hey, Cruz, lead us off here on a Monday.
Hey, Mike. I think we need better talent. You know, Don Askins used to go out and get some pretty good talent. I think we need to do that now. Like our football coach did, he got some pretty good talent. You know, you might not get him this year, nor next year, but if you keep trying, we're going to land somebody. We need better depth. The guys off the bench, coming off the bench, they need to be a little better where the guys can rest more, because at the end of the game, they're tired, and they need to play defense, especially when we're on the road, when we score less. If we can hold them down to a lower score, we have a better chance of winning if we're playing defense. So it's depth, talent, defense, you know, and go out after some talent that's better. You know, Don Haskins brought in some real good players, and he was competing for some real good players. He lost to some of them, but he did bring some in, you know, I don't know what else to say, you know.
No, you said it all. You said it all, Cruz. Appreciate the call. You really did. Better players. He's talking about recruiting, and he mentioned football. By the way, I'll say this for Scotty Walden, okay? This is kind of interesting. I started thinking about this. So when you have a terrible recruiting class and you're towards the bottom and you don't perform, well, I mean, you're not really getting people excited. You're not getting them excited about who's coming in, because if you don't really have that much of a recruiting class and you don't win, you're like, okay, that's, you know, understandable, I guess. But when you've got the number one recruiting class at Conference USA, would you say that's putting expectations on the team at a much higher level than it otherwise would be? Because you figure, well, if you've got the best recruiting class in Conference USA, let's see that translate into some dubs and see a team that can go out there and perform up to par.
Yeah, that's a good point, because you think about, like, even at the highest levels of the college football sport, Texas or Texas A&M, every year those schools put up a top five recruiting class, and one of the things that their fans say, well, the Aggies aren't winning enough game. They need to fire Jimbo Fisher. They need to move on from him. You know, the Longhorns on the flip side, Tom Herman getting every kind of recruit he wanted, Charlie Strong, every recruit he wanted. Why aren't they winning games? They've got to fire this coach. They got to go off and find a better coach, because he's obviously not getting it done. The players are coming, yet the success isn't. So yeah, this leaves UTEP in a situation where they've never really been in.
Aren't you fascinated to see if all these three stars are going to come right in and impact the team in a big way compared to when Dana Dimmel just brought in the JUCO talent every year? And, you know, I mean, some guys were great. Some guys were good. They were steady, maybe not spectacular, but I always felt like, you know, expectations were never really as high for JUCO athletes as they were for, let's say, all these three stars that give you a number one recruiting grade and, you know, highest ranked player ever to come to UTEP and all that. Well, you know, that's fine and dandy, but that also is putting more pressure on those guys and on the coach, because, hey, if you've got such a great recruiting class and you're number one in the conference, let's see it start to turn in terms of, you know, wins during the course of the season.
Yeah, I'll say something quickly about Dana Dimmel. I'll just say this. No one can talk up junior college players like Dana Dimmel. Like, he painted the picture for a guy who had zero stars behind him, zero yep. pedigree behind him. You couldn't even find high school or JUCO tape on a certain player, and he would gas him up in a certain way and talk about them very highly. And he talked about all the players the same way. Never really got too excited about him, but never talked down on them, of course. He always saw each one in their recruiting class as pretty valuable. The difference here with Scotty Walden is he's got guys who other people are saying are valuable. Other people have graded these guys as three-star, whatever it is, or other colleges have gone after some of these guys. UTEP wouldn't get, previously with Dana Dimmel, wouldn't get into a lot of recruiting battles to try to win a player over against another school. In this current world that we're living in, the Scotty Walden world, he is not afraid of the recruiting battles. He wants to embrace those battles. And yeah, they've lost some of them, but they've won others. And for them, that's what makes March 18th or 19th, whenever that first spring practice, that much more anticipating. I mean, I'm really excited for this practice to see what young talent is already on campus, which ones expect to make an impact right away, and how this is all translating. This week was boot camp, so we'll get to hear it from Cade McConnell firsthand to hear how things are going with the big boot camp being implemented with this football team.
I mean, by the way, half the roster's new. I mean, they've got like 48 new players. Some of those might be preferred walk-ons, but hey, I mean, it just still means half of your roster, with 85 players on a roster, you've got more than half are here for the first time.
Yeah, and I get it that some have moved with this current coaching staff, so they might be familiar with some of the different lingo and stuff like that that goes on behind the scenes, but it's new players mixing in with older players that have a new coaching staff here. So I think that it's going to be an interesting bag to just see what they have, and I think that they're going to be very optimistic on the younger talent, throw them on the field as soon as possible to try to see what they have in these younger talents.
I'm with you on that one. I really am. All right. You want to weigh in, 505-6009. You can also hit us up on Twitter or X at 600ESPN El Paso via social. We love that as well. When we come back, Minor Talk mashup, plus we're going to talk a little UTEP softball. Alberto's been at the games. They're 10-2 on the season. They got ASU on the road in Tempe coming up on Wednesday. By the way, just so you know, we reached out to UTEP softball, and we were told that there is no availability this week because of the games they have scheduled for this week, but we will be able to get TJ Hubbard and players on next week. So we've already been reaching out for UTEP softball, and we will get them into our River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studios as fast as we can get them here. I promise you that. But first, let's go to Adrian. We hit the bottom of the hour, which means it's SportsCenter time. Back, everybody. Minor Talk mashup, courtesy of Adrian Broaddus. We got Alberto Rueta in the studio as well, hanging with you on a Monday. One more hour to go. Then it's Teich live at Hudson's Grill, 1770 Lee Trevino for UTEP basketball with Keith Adams and Joe Golding. I'm looking at some of messages on social coming up. Adrian posted a lot of videos of Joe Golding. Augustine chimed in with this. Steve, winning is a mentality. Do the players have it? That's the big question. Well, obviously they have it on the at home, but they don't really have it on the road. Simple to say, right, Adrian?
Exactly. I mean, the winning, it does become a mentality, right? It is a mentality. It could be a mental thing as far as the roadblocks for them not winning on the road. I mean, these games are coming down to the end. It's not like they're getting blown out on the road. It's not like they're blowing leads on their own, although there has been some instances like that, like the Florida International game on the road. But whatever it might be, they're just not finding ways to close these out for victories. And you can be appreciative of the effort, and you can be excited about all this team gives on the road and their improvements. All those things are valid. But at the end of the day, are they winning games on the road? And the answer to that is no.
No, they're not. They're absolutely not. And you said it best. They might not win a road game this season. They might end up going, what would it be, 0-0? How many road games do they have left?
Yeah, it's 0-11 because the Jacksonville State and Liberty series is coming up in a couple weeks. Okay. So that's their last road series.
Okay, that makes sense. Also, some of these messages came up as well on social. Fernie, again, Adrian, I love my Miners, but always reliving the past. What have you done for me lately? FYI, I'm a season ticket holder. Give me more, says Fernie. Give me more.
Then, you know, yeah, it's ahead. Tough, Steve. I'm just going to say, you know, they're celebrating all these great things, and it's awesome. I mean, the fact that they celebrated the 03-04 team just a week ago against New Mexico State, that's huge. I mean, you don't have to do a lot to bring fans to the Haskins Center for the Battle of I-10, but they still did a great promotion ahead of that. This week, it's the unveiling of the Don Haskins statue, which Joe Golding talked about it, Instagrammable spots. And this is going to be kind of your Instagrammable location around UTEP in the coming years. Everybody's going to want to take a picture next to the bear and the statue. It's just facts. But yeah, it just feels like, what is this team currently doing? We could celebrate all of yesterday all we want, and it's always excited to talk throwbacks and all that kind of stuff. They're going to have new jerseys this week honoring that 83-84 team as well. But what good is all of that if you're not talking about wins for the current team?
Let me tell you something, okay? The truth is this. We all want wins. I am more excited about that statue unveiling this weekend than anything that's happened in a long time. Like, that is, and again, understand, it's personal. All right, folks? It's
100%.
Personal. This has been a project of mine for many, many years now, so I can't wait for Friday, actually for Saturday, when they have the public unveiling. That is going to be fantastic. So, for me, and to see the 83-84 team again, I'm super excited about that because that's my childhood. I mean, I was 11 years old when that team was going to the NCAA tournament, and I'll be 51. So, yeah, there is reasons why I can't wait for this weekend. And sadly, Adrian, Sam Houston State is really not on the list. I want to see them win, obviously. I want to see them go and do what they've done at home for most of the year this weekend and win two games. But I'm just excited for the statue. Can't wait for that. I don't think El Pasoans realize just how incredible this thing's going to be.
Yeah, you talk about this athletic year for UTEP. Hasn't been a lot of great things, right? I mean, we were talking about this over the weekend on Minor Talk. We were saying between football and men's basketball, been one of the tougher Minor Talk seasons to do because, you know, even in that 2018 year where they struggled in basketball, football at least was kind of on the upswing a little bit, or vice versa. When football was down in those early years of Minor Talk, starting to show up again on this radio station, at least the basketball team was serving it up. But this year, you're excited about the NIVC championship run that the volleyball team made, and that's one of the biggest accomplishments for this athletic department this year. And you're also really excited about the hiring of Scotty Walden. And then this is probably atop both of those right there, the unveiling of the Don Haskins statue, long overdue. You got a shout-out today from Joe Golding in my video as well. And yeah, Steve, I think everybody, the whole community, you don't even have to be a UTEP men's basketball fan. The whole community is excited about this, which comes up on Saturday.
We've never had this before. We've never had a bronze statue of any El Pasoan of significance. That's why, really, this is going to be so incredible and why I just can't wait. And I'm more excited for the fact that the Haskins family, specifically Mary Haskins, could have the opportunity to be a part of this weekend. That, you have no idea. I mean, that was my number one thing was to make sure that Mary was still with us when this happens. And couldn't be happier, folks. Could not be happier with this whole thing being done. All right, let's take some calls. 505-6009. We will begin hour number two with Enrique. He joins us next on the phone lines. Enrique, welcome aboard. How are you?
Hey, Cap. I'm good. How about you guys?
Hey, we're doing well. Thanks, Enrique. Appreciate it.
I was listening talking about the Don Haskins statue. I can't wait to see it. It's been way long overdue.
It's just one of those things that it'll become quite simply the most photographed area probably in town. I know obviously the university, but everybody's going to want to take their picture next to the statue. It's going to be fantastic. And you're right. I mean, it should have been done a long time ago, and for reasons unbeknownst to me, it just wasn't. But Saturday when everybody gets a chance to see it during the public unveiling, it's going to blow you away. I'm super excited, and I haven't even seen it yet. I mean, that's the fun part to me is I'm excited myself because I get to see it unveiled with everybody else, and that's going to be awesome.
It's going to be cool. Like, I'm really happy to pose. I saw a quick glimpse his iconic pose in the sideline, the bear mentality. I'm excited.
Great. Great. Are you going to be out there Saturday to see it?
I'm going to try to make it so I can just marvel at it. But right. I wanted to bring up UTEP basketball. It was something that came to mind is in the beginning of the season, we were all just so excited because of how well this squad did in the Baja Classic. They were so close of winning the whole thing. They upset Cal. Like, the way they were playing, the way they were cemented was just, we haven't seen this since, I was even going to say since the Gillespie days, since the Doc Sadler days. I was like, wow, this program might have turned around. But now we're at where we're at, and I don't even know where this is going to go.
Nobody does. That's the crazy thing. We don't know. First off, we don't know what's going to happen in the tournament. As Adrian said about a week or two ago, they could go all the way to the championship game. They can get bounced out in the first round, or they could be somewhere in between. And truth is, we have no idea. But if I had to guess, I'm going to guess early exit right now versus a deep appearance because we haven't seen this team play well really at all in terms of road games this year. And I know it's a neutral site game, but hey, it's in Alabama. I mean, that's the hardest thing about this is they're going to go to a place they've never played before, nobody has, and it's going to be a total crapshoot.
Only thing I can look at it as is it's a neutral site, just like the California tournament. Maybe that'll give them some pep to their step. I don't know. They'll take away that away game stigma, and maybe they can get a hot run. And, sometimes it really does matter, like baseball,
yep.
If they just get hot. If they can get hot in the tournament, maybe that could even carry over. Like, maybe they don't even get – never mind. I was going to say NIT, but we're far from that.
Could we at least have somebody at UTEP hire a hypnotist and hypnotize this team to think they're in the Don Haskins Center for that tournament?
Now you're thinking outside the box there, Cap. I like it.
Got to do what you got to do. That's exactly, Enrique. Hey, appreciate it, man. Thanks for the call. What do you think about that, Adrian? Hypnotist to get this team under hypnosis and to think that they are playing in the Don Haskins Center all week when they're out there going to be in Huntsville, Alabama.
Yeah, I like the idea. And, I'll give this team some credit for having a short-term memory. It feels like, they'll have, like, big deficits in game, and then they'll just kind of forget that they've been playing that bad and just kind of switch a gear or turn something and then play a lot better than they had. So, the Western Kentucky game, that could have got messy at multiple points, and it didn't, and they came back. Although, at the end, I think the score, a 10-point game, wasn't really a 10-point game. It was probably a little bit more than that. Now, in the Middle Tennessee game, there were multiple runs that the Blue Raiders had where the Miners could have easily laid down and lost in that one, but they had a short-term memory and they fought back. So this team has effort. They had fight, but they just don't have the win in them yet on the road.
Good point. All right. I guess that's the last thing you need, right? Effort is there, fight's there, but you can't close. So maybe they could figure out a way to do that over the next month or so. In the meantime, here is Adam from the East Side. He joins us next on the program. Adam, what's going on? Oh, hang on, Adam. My apologies. I didn't patch you through. Now I did. Adam, go ahead.
Hey, how are you guys?
We're doing well.
Definitely excited about that Saturday unveiling. Just had a newborn baby, so excited about that. But going to be cheering that on from far.
Congratulations. So, that's awesome, man. Good for you. Let's see. How many pounds? How many ounces?
So right now, he was born prematurely. But just definitely, we're just building that UTEP fan base with him coming
good
into this world. So
awesome, man. Awesome. Well, congratulations on that. Hope for the best with everything with you and your newborn, and it's pretty exciting. Where are you living these days, Adam?
In El Paso.
Okay, so you're here.
Well, I go to all the UTEP games, see Adrian there sometimes. I guess I'm just going to kind of give a different perspective. Look, New Mexico State is they're starting to get blown out. You know, they're starting to get blown out on road games. Mm-hmm. They're barely hanging on for some home wins, and I just don't feel like UTEP. You know, they're taking some tough losses, but they're not getting blown out, just like what Adrian said right now. So I think there's a little bit more team morale there than what New Mexico State has. And again, we're going to the conference tournament. It's a neutral court. I think the only reason that I'd have a bone to pick anything with Golding is I'm just completely out on Calvin Solomon. The whole team looks like it's operating at a different level than Calvin Solomon when it comes from passes, being aware of what's going on the court. The speed of the game, the Miners are operating at a faster speed. Calvin Solomon is just not. He hasn't all season, and it's just evident when he's on the court. I've seen him come off the bench. I know Joe Golding's trying to do different things to get him with it, but it's just not working. Look, everybody was on Calvin Kalu. He's a little bit better at his free throws. He's catching the ball better under the basket. Just people that I didn't think might get better at some things are getting better while Calvin Solomon is regressing. So I'm completely out on Calvin Solomon. I don't know if we need to get those Andres more minutes, but he brings something to the court right now that Calvin Solomon does not.
Well, that's true. And yet, one of the things we'll say about Joe Golding late in games, Adrian, he goes with his vets. I mean, he goes with a lot of the roster or the guys on the court are usually going to be the guys that have been there with him the last few years.
Or guys that he's starting to trust and trust more, like David Terrell Jr., who has closed out some games, has not closed out others. And I like the fact that, you know, he gets some of that experience, because if you're a minor optimist, if you're hopeful for the future, then you're banking a lot of your stock on David Terrell Jr. You know, you understand that Solomon's gone after this year, Hardy too, and Jonathan Dos Anjos is a senior as well, same as Zid Powell, but you hope to have the youth and to build upon. So when you see him in the closing minutes, unlike the veterans, it's refreshing to see some younger talent. But typically it's all the seniors and it's all the older guys.
And I guess you said it best. I mean, really, if you're going to take out Calvin Solomon, late in the game, now sometimes you'll see Solomon play with Kalu. Sometimes you'll see Solomon play for Kalu. But the two guys you don't see are going to be Hamilton and Jones. They're usually not in there late in games. They might get sporadic minutes at times, but you won't see them late in games. Usually it's going to be Kalu and or Solomon when it comes down to those post players.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Dos Anjos earn more minutes, to Adam's point. I don't know if he can necessarily play that five position. They're going to have to go a little bigger. It has to be to play alongside Solomon, not necessarily to be on his own, like on an island. Although Dos Anjos closed out a lot of those minutes against Middle Tennessee. Granted, it's a smaller team.
That's true. And don't you think, though, that when you watch Solomon play, I mean, do you feel he's best at the four or best at the five?
That's a great question. I think he can guard one through five, but I think offensively he shoulders too much when he's asked to be the five, which makes him end up making mistakes, like the turnovers that you might see during games. So, yeah, his position is definitely that four. The problem is fours nowadays are kind of like threes and twos. I mean, you see a lot of smaller guards or sizable guards play that position instead of a traditional forward.
True enough. All right, we've got more coming up here on the program as we continue 18 past the hour. Let's go over to Charlie One, get ourselves this traffic update. It's the hour as we continue here on Sports Talk. 505-6009, that's our telephone number to get in. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X and social media. A lot of stuff for you this week. A lot of stuff to talk about. In fact, I saw the list of members of the 83-84 team that are going to be back here. I think it's fantastic. Tim Floyd's going to be back here. That's great news. Anthony Bailey, Don Bronco Bronson, Wayne Soup Campbell, Paul Cunningham will be here as well. The Cheese, Dave Feidel, Lester Pony Goodwin, Kevin Hamilton, and of course, Fred Reynolds. What a list that is. That's a terrific list of guys that many of us got to love over the years. They were here for that 83-84 team. Not to mention, there will be others coming to town for the statue unveiling this weekend. That's also really exciting. You know, when you hear the news of guys like Antonio Davis, Tim Hardaway, hopefully there'll be some players from the 66 team coming back too. That's going to be it's going to be happening, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. $9.15 tickets for the Saturday game and for all the minor games, during the home games. They got Sam Houston coming up Saturday, but it's important to note that, yes, our tickets, within the first 15 rows of the floor, higher priced in El Paso than any other place in Conference USA? Absolutely, they are. But the $9.15 ticket is still a cheap ticket. It's under 10 bucks. That's less than a movie. And Adrian, the fact is that, you get in for $9.15 to the Haskins Center, like a couple of Saturdays ago when you had New Mexico State in town, and that place was rocking pretty good.
Look, the people who are upset or who get mad about the tickets, and I get it. Like, I understand if you're looking to be budget conscious, if you're out there trying to get the affordable seats, plan now. Plan today, Monday and Tuesday, if you're going to plan to go to the game on Saturday. Don't come at us after planning it on Friday and thinking, oh, I guess I kind of want to go to the game, or, oh, that's right, I got to get my tickets. No. Plan it now. Get your tickets now so then you don't have to worry about any of the headaches, any of the last-minute ticket getting in, and then start complaining to us about the expensive ticket price.
And if you can make a day of it, make a day of it. You got the Haskins statue unveiling, the public unveiling at 4 o'clock on Saturday. So you can go, be there for the unveiling, take a photo next to the bear, then you'll walk into the game 3 hours later. I mean, there's a lot of good things, or actually probably about 2 hours or an hour and a half later, because
I got the map. I got it. Yeah. You can go to the unveiling, go to the district, join us, get a burger, get a bite, get a drink, and then go right back to the Haskins Center to watch the game.
What do you do, by the way, if you go to the district? Do you get a burger, or do you get the quesadillas, or do you get the wrap? Like, every time we eat at the district, it's always a great meal no matter what.
Yeah, actually, we passed by yesterday. We were driving around. My wife and I were looking for a restaurant. She jokingly said, what about just getting the rolled tacos from the district? And I was like, yeah, actually, that sounds fantastic. Those rolled tacos are pretty great. So you're right. There's a lot of ways you could do it out at the district.
You're 5 days into Lent. Have you dropped some weight giving up sweets?
I haven't checked. I haven't hit the scale, but I probably have. I'll say this. It's so tough. Last night I almost broke, Steve. Oh. It was Sunday. It's the Sunday night.
Yeah, it's tough.
And I'm like, man, I just want a sweet to wind down the night or wind up the day. It really tested me yesterday.
What's been your sweet substitute for the last 5 days?
I don't know. So we talked about the gross dry fruit last week. I've been eating that. It's gross. It's awful. Like, just no flavor whatsoever. Like the banana slices, the apple slices type of thing. No flavor whatsoever. Dried fruit.
What about the what about apricots?
Ooh, I should dive into that.
There's flavors in those.
Okay, I should dive into that. And I like almonds, so I need to load up on some almonds.
Are you a cereal guy?
I do like cereal. Yes, I do like cereal.
What cereal do you have in the house?
None. We did. We talked about the cereal thought, and we were like, you know what? It's a borderline. It's kind of like cheating in a way. So we don't have it right now.
What if you do Cheerios plain, and then you throw some blueberries in?
Oh, that's the ones we had.
Wait, you got rid yes. of plain Cheerios?
Well, not that we got rid of them. We just kind of put them in the back, and we said, "Nah, we're not going to touch these."
There's like no sugar in plain Cheerios.
You're right. No, you're right. It's just kind of like on the borderline, though. It's like it for me at least. When we were having this whole discussion,
yeah,
it was on the borderline.
Well, I was just playing around with you and just trying to make you eat nothing. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, as long as you just do the, you know, for the most part, and just. You know, just try to abide by it. You'll be fine. So, if you ask me now, 5 days into it, I'm like, yeah, you've got permission. You should definitely eat plain Cheerios. That would be good.
You know what? I think I'm all right. I'm just trying to make my meals, savor my meals. That's how I'll say it. I'll savor my meals, and I don't need dessert. I don't need the sweets afterwards.
Good for you. Maybe you'll give it up altogether after these 40 days. Who knows?
Maybe.
All right. Let's give out awards from Saturday's Minor Talk and the double overtime loss for UTEP to Middle Tennessee. First off, who won our Wind Supply El Paso Hot Hands of the game?
Yeah, you know, it was a little difficult, but in this one, off the bench, Jonathan Dosanjo's 4 3-pointers, 14 points. Sal named it. I agreed completely. He was definitely the hot hand from over the weekend. And when they get 39 points off the bench and Jonathan Dosanjo's is leading the way, that's usually a good thing for this UTEP basketball team. Shout out to John Dosanjo's. He's battled injuries both his seasons here at UTEP. I think he could have been a special player, but just was unavailable with no fault of his own. He just faced injuries throughout his 2 years here. So he was the hot hand from this weekend.
Awesome. By the way, speaking of hot, you know, I know I was seeing the weather. It got to 70 degrees today, but it's still cold in the mornings. Every time, and at night it gets cold. I mean, if you don't have a heater going, you'll probably get into the 60s for sure, probably the mid to low 60s in your home, which is more the reason to look into a new system from Champion Heating and Cooling. You go to the Find a Dealer tab at WindSupplyElPaso.com. You'll find the certified Champion Elite dealers. There are three of those. And then you have your preferred Champion dealers, and there's another 10 of those. It's all up right now, WindSupplyElPaso.com/findadealer, and you can find a dealer nearest you for Wind Supply and Champion. Time now for our Timothy Cantrell Player of the Game.
This is where we had a lot of difficulty finding a player of the game because even though Tay Hardy led the way with 24 points, he had some costly turnovers in the game and held the team back at certain points, plus 23 shot attempts, 8 makes. You know, I get it. He's going to the free throw line and making and having 9 attempts, which is solid. But still, you would like to – how do you ask more from your best player in Tay Hardy? In this one, we gave it to Zid Powell, 13. Points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 turnover, 34 minutes of action. Didn't feel great about it, but it just was tough across the board to find a player of the game. So Zid Powell for filling up the stat sheet for those 5 assists and 1 turnover, which is a plus for him. We ended up giving it to Zid Powell.
One of those rare Zid games where he gets into double figures and they still lose.
That's right. Yeah, not too many of those. Maybe 2 or 3 only.
Folks, Timothy Cantrell is your trusted real estate agent. He has over 20 years of experience. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in El Paso, you can look no further than Tim. He's got vast knowledge, unwavering dedication, and valuable resources to make your real estate dreams come true. All you got to do is contact Timothy Cantrell today. You can reach him at 915-204-8441 via call or text. And don't forget to follow him on Instagram at Timothy Realtor for the latest listings and tips. And we give out those awards after every game on Minor Talk. And that is presented by the Oscar Arrieta Agency. And what a show. I mean, I'm telling you right now, I know Esteban hit us up on social about this, wondering if Joe Golding listens to Minor Talk after games. My answer to that is probably not. But trust me. Plenty of people around that program do. They know. He knows. It's not like he is oblivious to the way fans are feeling about this team. He might not talk about it as openly as you'd like, but believe me, every coach at that university that is part of either football or basketball, they know all about how fans feel after every game on Minor Talk.
Yeah, I mean, it's right kind of in your face. I mean, people can even tag the coach and stuff like they have here in the past. So, yeah, I mean, to the credit of our listeners, I appreciate them. And those listeners who sometimes happen to be on the staff, happen to be coaches, happen to be players, parents of players who've called me on and off the record, you know, I appreciate them too. You know, it's good discussion, it's good discourse, and we'll keep at it.
All right. A little bit past the bottom of the hour. We've got John Teicher standing by for our final countdown coming up in about 15 minutes from Hudson's Grill, where he's hanging out for UTEP basketball with Keitha Adams and Joe Golding. In the meantime, let's get one last SportsCenter update. Here he is, Adrian, back with another SportsCenter as we continue. All right, Adrian, thank you very much. I'm looking at Twitter and X. I see a couple of messages first. I see El Paso Visuals Deportivos trying to get me to start up again with Tim Floyd. That is not going to happen. I am done with that. I know he doesn't want me to bury the hatchet. Please, it's got to stop. It's enough. It's years ago. It's history. In fact, we're going to reunite this weekend, and all's going to be good. We're not. There is no round two. I'm done with that. So is Coach. We're going to bond together over something we both love, and that is the Bear, Don Haskins, and the statue and everything that it means and represents. So I appreciate the fact that everybody wants, or at least he wants, to see a reprise of what happened years ago. No interest. Don't want to do that. In fact, thank you for bringing that up, El Paso Visuals. Appreciate that.
Hey, I'll just say this. Open invite, at least on my show. Open invite.
There you go. There you go. Well, I'm not going to be here Friday. You're flying without me.
Oh, interesting. Cool.
So who knows? Maybe he'll just randomly pop in on you and join the show. That'll be
maybe
good.
Maybe so.
Good. Meanwhile, YYS, Ying Yang Samurai, getting in on the NBA. Here's what he had to say for All-Star Weekend. What I saw yesterday for an All-Star game was an insult. This is coming from a guy who fell in love with the game at the age of 6. And then he went on to say, the only way the NBA can lure me back to the All-Star festivities is if Wemby wins both the three-point shootout and the dunk contest next year. I'm not going to lie to you, Adrian. I didn't watch a minute of All-Star Weekend. I know we aired it on 600 because of how big the NBA is with ESPN Radio, and I'm happy we aired it for those that are NBA fans. You're a huge fan. YYS is a huge fan. But no, I did not waste any time this weekend on that. Did I miss out? Should I have watched a G League star repeat a slam dunk contest winner? Apparently, he can't make an NBA roster, but he can go back-to-back on winning the slam dunk contest.
Yeah, shout-out Texas Tech's own Mac McClung. He had a cup of coffee with the Lakers. Maybe even the NBA champion Mac McClung. He might have won it when the Lakers went to the bubble. Anyways, all that aside to say, I didn't watch a single second of All-Star Weekend.
And you're a fan!
I'm a diehard fan.
You
I watched
are a
nightly.
Diehard.
I was struggling this weekend because I didn't have NBA. And I watched UFC. I watched almost every single second of that UFC card instead of watching any sort of dunk contest, three-point contest, the Sabrina versus Steph. I love the thought, but I'm not watching it. No, I didn't watch any of that. I think all of that was made for social media. Yesterday, all my sports watching focus was on the golf. The Genesis Invitational was not on what was going on for the All-Star game itself. I thought it was an absolute disgrace to the sport. And you know what? Most of these All-Star games are. I mean, look at what we just don't even talk about the football one anymore, the Pro Bowl,
yeah,
because it has actually turned. We talked about a glorified flag football. It's now turned into a flag football game. So, these games are just awful, and I think we have to fix them in all these sports.
The only All-Star game I watch is baseball, because the truth is, it is the one game that at least is played it resembles a regular season game. And even the baseball has plenty of show and plenty of flash. I get all that. But that still is the one game. It's the middle of the season, just like, you know, the NBA and the NHL All-Star game. But it just feels more genuine than the others.
That's right. I mean, think about this, Steve. everybody watches the home run derby. They love to watch the homers being mashed out of the park. They love the All-Star game in itself because that might be, for some fans who are casuals just for baseball, the time they really check in and watch. Hey, we're talking about the middle of the summer, pretty much middle of the season. This is the time I need to start really watching my team or other teams across baseball to see who's really going to be a contender and who's not. So that is the way that they do it for Major League Baseball is fantastic. Every basketball and football, they've got issues.
Well, baseball, you don't see 25 to 17 scores the way you saw yesterday's 211 to 186. I mean, there's no defense played. It's a joke. And you're getting, Karl Anthony Towns scoring 50 points with nobody guarding. And that's one of the reasons why you don't watch it. Nobody wants to see a game where there's 211 points.
Nobody wants to see a game where Karl Anthony Towns is scoring 50 points. So that's another part. I mean, it's to me, it's a lost cause. I don't think there is a solution to fixing it. If somebody had it, they probably would have already implemented it. It's sad. It's sad to where this is at right now. And I wish we would talk about the actual season because, unfortunately, the All-Star weekend is not it for the NBA.
No, it's not. No, it's not. I'll give you something you want to talk about. I'll tell you right now. Our dining deal for this week. That's coming up Friday at 10 a.m. Folks, you can go online right now to KRD.com or 600ESPNElPaso.com. Goes to the same place. And while you're there, you can get $50 to Flip's Neighborhood Bar and Kitchen for just $25. If you've never been to Flip's, let me tell you something, you're missing out. It's on the west side, 1071 Country Club Road. In fact, the heart of the Upper Valley in El Paso. And I'll tell you what, I was there last week. I saw the full bar. I saw the lunch options, which is $8.99. You get soup, salad, and a sandwich, a wrap. That is one of the best deals in town. You get the $25 family meal deal as well. And they've got it all. Pizza, burgers, tacos, salads, soups, sandwiches. You want to take advantage of that? $50 to Flip's Neighborhood Bar and Kitchen for $25. It's going to be Friday, 10 a.m. Goes on sale for dining deals. You can check that out at 600ESPNElPaso.com. When we come back, John Teicher will join us for our final countdown. That's next right here, Sports Talk and 600 ESPN El Paso.